There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started with today's episode of Bench with Bubba, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Draft. If you love fantasy baseball, then you need to try our new favorite app called Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people just like in your season-long league. Drafts last just for one night. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire, just set it and forget it. And the best part, you play for cold, hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. Trust me, I love playing drafts. I play golf, I play NFL, basketball. You can play them head-to-head, three-man, six-man. There's running leagues. You win one night, it keeps going for four, five, six nights. You can play a dream team. There's all kinds of great ways to play draft, and you can join me today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer on draft.com. And when you enter promo code SDSports, you got to enter the promo code SDSports. You get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code SDSports. That's right. Play in a real money game for free just for using the promo code SDSports when you make your first deposit. Just again, search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code SDSports. Now to this week's edition of Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 94. Gonna talk some fantasy baseball, maybe sprinkle in some golf as we got something fun coming up here in a few minutes. Yep. But in order to do so, joined by a special guest, you might have heard me as a guest on his DFS podcast, A Friend for Fantasy Benefits. He also does work at Razzball and Lineup Logic DFS. You can find him on Twitter at Roto_Juan. Mike Alexander. Mike, how we doing, man?
Good, Bubba. Excited to be here. I signed on with FWFB, you got to get crazy busy just like Justin Mason. That's part of the mission statement.
Yeah, no, that guy, my goodness. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, living out here by him, getting in the barf leagues with him and everything. And yep, he is one of the greatest, most genuine guys you'll ever meet. And I don't know how he does what he does in 24 hours in a day. It is
not at all.
It's ridiculous. Like they said it on the sleeper on the bus, people that goes a full-time job, he goes to school, and he does all the fantasy stuff he does. It's ridiculous what that man does. But let's talk about some, you know, hot, cold players, kind of the usual rundown on Bench with Bubba when you talk some fantasy baseball. We'll kick it off with a name that popped off the screen on Sunday after getting called up from Colorado Springs for the Milwaukee Brewers, talking Freddy Peralta. Made his major league debut. He struck out 13 batters, which is darn impressive, in 5 2/3 innings pitched. He's going to be the talk of the waiver wire if he didn't get picked up already. Yep. What's your takes on Freddy Peralta? Because there's some interesting things involving this man.
Yeah, and the notable thing about that is, I forget the exact number, but I think it was like 90 out of 98 pitches were fastballs. Correct. You know, he does, yes. You know, mix up, you know, it's not all four seam, but that's a really impressive percentage of fastballs and to be effective that long with it. So, you know, his whole thing is kind of a funky delivery with the low 90s fastball. He's deceptive. And I think that's going to play for a little bit until advanced scouting starts to catch up with him. I grabbed him in the FWFB Listener League, which is a 19-team roto league. I went pretty heavy because my thinking was Milwaukee's rotation is not at all set. If he keeps pitching well, he's going to stay in that rotation.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. It's going to be really interesting when it comes to what he has coming up, because you mentioned the 90 out of 98 fastballs. That's slightly concerning, to say the least. But he, as you also said, he does a heck of a pitch mix with it, a lot of you know, movement on his pitches, as you'd say. And the reason why I find it interesting is, A, that obviously would be a great pitcher for Colorado because, yeah, speed pitchers have trouble there. B, Colorado cannot hit right-handed pitchers to save their life this year. They are just dreadful against them. It wasn't too fluky because if you look at, you know, obviously small sample size, but you have an ERA of 0 and a FIP of minus 0.38 and an xFIP of 0.09. So all the peripherals suggest, yeah, he should have been this good. When you put the other, you know, four balls that were put in play, half of them were ground balls. And the other part that is interesting to bring up, because he's going to be on a pitcher's ballpark in Milwaukee. He's obviously in Coors Field. He's done a really good ball, a good job of limiting the long ball in the minors. So
yeah,
there might be something here. And like you said, their rotation's an absolute joke. If you had to go out and he's on your waiver wire for Fab this week, what percentage would you kind of recommend going? You said you went heavy in that league, and that's 19 teams, so it makes sense you need to get that guy that's got the job.
I went pretty much double what I would have in another league since it's 19 teams and it's, you know, obviously there's nothing on the waiver wire. So I went 36 out of 100 just to see if you know, if he sticks in that rotation, it's worthwhile. And I based that off of some other pitchers who had gone previously in like the 30s. So, yeah, I said, let me make sure I get this guy. There's probably not going to be too many actionable waiver ads throughout the season because with 19 teams, everybody is stashing, you know, their favorite prospect. So guys like him that pop and nobody had thought to stash before, those are the guys that are going to come up. And I'd rather get the one that's the earliest in the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's a good call there. And as the season goes on, eventually you got to start throwing your Fab money somewhere. That's just the way it's going to go. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they had Yonny Chirinos come up, and that was the talk of the town for a while. I know I grabbed him in the TGFBI, and he was – everybody really, really liked what he had going on there, and he got hurt. So they went back to having their kind of four starters and this middle reliever. Then with Ryan Yarbrough, and he's got it going pretty early. It's like it's not overwhelming, but he's giving you 4 to 5 innings, usually 5 innings each start. Mm-hmm. Peripherals look decent. Okay strikeout stuff. What are you looking at with Ryan Yarbrough? Like, what leagues, what size leagues would you look to add him in? Is he worth a guy even adding to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, definitely deeper leagues because that, you know, that rotation is just so in flux. But you know, 14-team league, 15-team league, like TGFBI, I had Chirinos as well, and I couldn't decide who was going to be his replacement long term, so I didn't grab anybody. But, it, you know, it's there's definitely room in that rotation for a guy. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, he should stick.
No, I like that as well because they have plenty of needs for pitchers and not a lot of options. But Nate Eovaldi is coming back soon. I didn't really put him on the outline, but just top of your head, I think he's worth a speculative bid just because he's got the history. Definitely injury concerns there. But is he a guy you'd be looking to roster over Ryan Yarbrough?
Only because they seem to prefer him. That's the concern with Yarbrough is that the job could go away. And then what do you do with him? Are you putting him back on the wire? Are you going to try and stash him? So, you know, if you're going to stream him, he's perfect for that. You know, otherwise you're probably not looking at a long-term position. And then, you know, with Eovaldi, it's a good park for him. You know, because he's a fastball pitcher, but I can't see him finishing the year out just with health concerns, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think while he's in the rotation, he's going to be a worthwhile starter more times than not. We saw in spring, he actually looked decent, and then he kind of got banged up again to put him where he's at. But I think he could be interesting while he's out there. But, man, pitching in the AL East is never fun. So it'd be fun to see how that comes together. Let's talk about a couple of Padres outfield.
Yankees for a little bit, right? He was pretty good with them.
True. He was good with them. But now this is a different Yankees club he gets to go face.
Different Red Sox.
But, yeah, it's a little terrifying there. But let's talk about some Padres outfielders. One we've seen before, and he got the call a few weeks ago, and Travis Jankowski brings some speed upside, leadoff batter in that order. And then you have Franmil Reyes, the power-hitting bat that came out of the minor, just got called up. He was on an absolute tear. He already had 14 homers on the year in minor league ball in 36 games. It's a very crowded outfield there in San Diego. So what are you looking at with these two guys? They were big on the waiver wire this past week. But like I said, you got Franchi Cordero, you have Perella, you have Margot. There's a lot of guys to deal with. Myers eventually. What do you do with these two guys?
So, I mean, Jankowski is a short-term fill-in, as they like to say at Razzball. Steals ain't got no face. You put him in and just ignore the other stats and hope he gets you the one counting stat that you need, because that's about all he's good for. You know, Reyes, I like him. He's obviously the buzziest player this week because the power is insane. He's a big dude, huge dude. Watched a little bit of tape on him just with him coming up, and he actually stays back pretty well for a big man on the little bit I've seen from him recently. The one highlight you see a lot of is him hitting an Oppo Taco, and it's a nice – he stays back on – I think it was a slider and makes good contact. So if he got run in the outfield, he's obviously a good add. But like I said, crowded situation, but there's not that much in front of him outside of Will Myers to beat out. You know, Margot's going to be in center field because obviously Reyes doesn't figure there. But, you know, Perella, they like him, but like he's not the greatest player. Franchi Cordero, he's hit some balls really hard, but I don't think he's a long-term big leaguer. So if Reyes gets the opportunity and runs away with it, I don't see any of these other guys taking his job.
Yeah, see, that's the interesting spot, because like Perella, he can go play second base also. We've seen that. So that's a good option for them there, because when they brought Reyes up, they sent Azuyahe down. So that was kind of telling there with the crowded outfield. When Myers gets back, he's obviously in the outfield. You'd imagine, like you said, Margot's going to keep his job. And you got Reyes, and I just don't see them getting rid of Franchi either. So it's got to be like a four outfield setup. And like you said, Jankowski's gotten that out.
He's going to
– Renfro's out too.
But, I mean, he didn't even win the starting job out of spring training after a hot spring training. So I don't know if they're considering Renfro long-term at this point.
I wouldn't be shocked if Renfro gets traded. This could be a piece that, you know, the talent's there. You even said a hot spring. We've seen what this guy can do. He's going to be like a 240 hitter that has the potential in a full year to hit 40-plus bombs. That's what he does. The Giants would love – yeah, he'd be phenomenal. Come on down. But he just looks like a DH in an American League ballpark. You know, go train me like the Tigers or something. Let them go play with him for a little bit, see how it works. Or even the Orioles or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But for a team that's up and coming, they do have a darn crowded outfield there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about another Tampa Bay Ray pitcher. We already mentioned Ryan Yarbrough. Anthony Banda, he was a big-time Diamondbacks prospect. He kind of scuffled in the minors with the D-backs recently. His little, you know, cup of coffee with the D-backs wasn't great. Gets dealt in this Steven Souza deal. He looked okay the other night. Wasn't overpowering by any means, but looked okay. Is Banda a guy you're looking to add? Because similar to Yarbrough, they need pitchers. There's, you know, a few performers. So is this a guy you're looking at?
He was on my prospect radar to start the year. Anytime a team goes out and gets a guy, I just bump him up a little notch because they see something they like. And with Banda, his fly ball ratio was creeping up. It wasn't going to play in Arizona. You know, he's kind of a power pitcher. And while, you know, a guy like Robbie Ray has gotten away with it, it's a really hard thing to do. It took Robbie Ray a long time to get to where he is. So that deal made sense for both sides. And it's obviously the Rays said, you know, we got a great fly ball ballpark for a pitcher. Let's see, you know, if we can develop him. So I think he's got a higher ceiling than a guy like Yarbrough. But I think you're also going to have more growing pains.
Yeah, I could see that. Definitely. Let's talk about a guy that literally burst onto the scene. He's played pretty well with Miggy Cabrera out and, you know, other playing times. He played the outfield, played some middle infield, first base. But this last week, he had a double homer game and much, much more. Nico Goodrum, he's batting cleanup for the Tigers. I know the Tigers aren't great, but still, batting cleanup doesn't suck. Yeah. What are you doing with Nico Goodrum? Is he worth an ad in almost all leagues, or are you just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop up on this one?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought with him was, obviously, he's the utility guy. That's how he figures, and he's going to lose his job. But that club is just falling apart. There's injuries everywhere. You know, Dixon Machado at second is not like an all-star second baseman that if Goodrum is hitting when, you know, things start to get crowded, it might be Machado becoming the utility guy and not Goodrum. He's kind of come out of nowhere. I don't know a ton about him prior to this season, but he's providing some counting stats. So in a deep league, like, those are the kind of guys that you got to take a chance on.
Yeah, that's why he does definitely come on the radar. I'm not saying like go overspend on him, but if you have needs at certain positions, he's definitely worth the look because he's getting the playing time. That's one of the perks of bad teams. But yeah, he came out of nowhere because I hadn't knew nothing about him. You said he came out of nowhere for you. When he comes out of nowhere for a guy like Paul Spohr, who absolutely loves the Detroit Tigers, that tells you a lot. And it'll be really interesting to see how that all comes together.
Yeah, I remember Paul saying that. He was like, I think he said he was playing
the MLB the show. Like,
what is this guy, Goodrum? What?
Yeah, Nico? He couldn't even say it right. It was great.
But, you know, it's like in TGFBI, that's middle infield's a wasteland right now. So, you know, if he's not already owned, or maybe the person who owns him doesn't have quite the need you might at middle infield or second base, you might need to make a move there.
Yeah, no, it's very, very nice. You know, most guys would have led with this. We're going to kind of just kind of put it in the middle here. Hopefully it gets overlooked. Just kidding. Robbie Cano, obviously, if you've lived under a rock, you don't know what's going on, but it's suspended 80 games for violating the substance policy. I'm going to put it like, because it's not a PED. It's a masking agent for a PED. Yep. So he's out for a while. He gets to serve most of it while he's on the DL, which he's already going to be out about 2 months. Now he's out almost 3 months, you know, another extra month. A, if you are in, say, a 12-team league or deeper, do you think about cutting him?
No, I own him in our FWFB Dynasty League. And it was a new league this year, and I went a little more. I went older, you know. I went win now, and then with prospects that are a little far away. And you know, it's 14 teams. I just can't see cutting him. I got spot. He's on the DL right now. I'm not sure how that's going to play with the suspension.
Well, real quick, it's interesting because I had a guy in our Slack chat ask me what to do with him because Yahoo's already taken him off the DL and put him a suspension tag, so you can't put him on the DL.
This is on Fantrax, which is a little more lenient with their DL. Yahoo is like, hey, you can't mess with the DL. You do anything on the DL, we freeze your roster. So, you know, Fantrax will let you leave him there, which is nice. So I've got him stashed, so obviously I don't have to cut him. If he's taking a bench spot, if you think you're going to contend, you don't cut him. Otherwise, you know, you might need to free up the spot.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, because it's one of those, can you afford to let him sit there for literally till middle of end of August? And by then, you're definitely out of it. Like, you need that spot. It's the million-dollar question.
Right.
And it's one of those, like, I tell people when they flat out ask, what are you going to do with them? Well, it's really, like, the answer you can give any question is, well, it's league-dependent, it's team-dependent. This is the total, you have to be dependent on what you have going on. You can't just make a random assumption like, hey, go pick up Nico Goodrum. No, right. This is totally different. Yeah.
I will say this about the Yahoo designation. I've come across problems with them in the past, and I love Yahoo. They're a great platform, but the guy that I remember from last season was Rich Hill. They made him, I think, NA instead of DL because he, you know, depended on what he was on the 40 man, but the whole thing got convoluted. Basically, they were incorrect, and because he was in my DL, my roster was frozen for making moves. I actually messaged their support and said, "Hey, I don't think Rich Hill's supposed to be on the DL." They fixed it later that day, and I was fine. So I would say maybe give that a day, or maybe even send them a message if that's jamming you up, and say, is he truly suspended, not DL'd? Because he might be on the DL as well. I don't know what wins out there.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up because I've never interacted with them, but I did mention that to the guy that asked me. I said, you know, in reality, in real life, he is on the DL. So technically Yahoo should have him there as much as you want to fight it because, you know, you shouldn't get that advantage. I get where they're going with it. But if you want to follow the rules of the land, he is on the DL. So yeah. That's a good point. So everyone go contact him and do it in a civil way, of course. Do it in a civil way and tell him Bench
with Bubba. They are responsive. I've dealt with them a few times on basically DL issues, and both times they were pretty good. Walker Buehler was the other guy. When he got designated between starts, they hadn't made him back to NA. And we have an NA slot in one league. So I was like, hey, you kind of need him, need the bench spot. And they fixed it.
That's good. Good to know. Now, if you are a Cano owner like you are, but say it's a dynasty or a redraft, with the limited options, you're never going to replace Robinson Cano. Right. What are you looking at on the waiver wire for, you guys, a temporary fix? Or, you know, when I looked at it last week when it was just the injury is one thing, but now you throw another month on it. What are you looking at here?
So what do you think they're doing there in Seattle, going with Taylor Motter?
It's so weird because what I would do was put D. Gordon there, except I see the point of, no, you want him to get a full season under his belt because next year you're going to go on the field. So I get that. They called up what's his name, Gordon Beckham. That's never going to work. That's a quick fix. I see Taylor Motter as a good option, or since they're still kind of in a race, go sign Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, he's an option. One thing I would like to see them do is engage the Yankees in trade talks because the Yankees have plenty of second basemen. So that's a spot that I might, Drury or Walker, I might take a speculative ad, maybe get both of them if you got a big bench and see hey, maybe one of these guys gets traded out there. That's obviously a long shot, but if one of those guys turns into a starting second baseman for the Mariners, that's free value. You got up in Boston.
Pedroia's coming back.
You got Pedroia coming back soon, so he might be another guy you can grab. Otherwise, you might just be stuck with Cano's replacement, depending on how deep the league is.
Because what's out there is pretty bleak, and at least whoever replaces Cano is going to should have an everyday job, which is more than you can say for most of the waiver wire out there.
Yeah, I mean, the other strategy you could take is target a player like Jason Kipnis, who's, I guarantee, I own him in one league. If somebody offered me, 75 cents on the dollar, I'd jump at it. So that might be a chance you need to take depending on where you are in the standings.
No, that's a great point right there. Would you, all things considered, let's just say 12-team league. So the waiver wire is going to be kind of a jumble of good and bad, more upside than anything. Would you rather go out and try to make a trade, maybe a 2 or 3 player trade to kind of increase your second base and maybe somewhere else, but, go from a would you rather basically trade than go to the waiver wire?
In a 12 team, I'd rather go to the waiver wire. I think there's probably depth there. I don't want to weaken a position I'm strong in to fix this problem. But if you get to a 14, 15 team league, that's where, if you can convince somebody, maybe the Altuve owner, would take, your second and third round picks, something like that. And, you figure Altuve is going to have a bounce back as it heats up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's really hard to believe Altuve is going to finish the year just like Goldie. Goldie, I think, is going to be just fine. There's certain players where the back of the baseball card more often than not comes into play. So that's a good call there. Let's talk about a guy that, we mentioned Brandon Phillips could get signed. Mark Reynolds got signed about maybe a month ago. The Nats have already brought him up. He's played in two games. He has two home runs, both in the same game. But he's doing what Mark Reynolds does. He just crushes baseballs and he strikes out. So, you know, this is what we get to expect. Obviously, he doesn't have an everyday role, but, you know, in only and deeper leagues might be worth a look. Is this a guy just to kind of put on your watch list, or is he someone you might actually look to grab with the just mess of injuries the Nationals have?
I grabbed him in the 19-teamer that I'm in because anytime somebody gets some kind of a role, you kind of have to. What he does is hit home runs. I can't believe the Rockies didn't bring him back. He was such a fit for what they needed. But, yeah, their loss is the Nationals' gain. It depends on what happens with Zimmerman. I don't think Zimmerman's been right since spring training.
That whole story about he's just resting because he's old, I think there's more to it.
Yeah, so, you know, the problem is if he comes off the DL, he's going to be in the lineup most days. Not every day, but, you know, barring a shutdown situation with Zimmerman, I don't know how much staying power Reynolds will have. Matt Adams is raking right now, so he's also going to push him to the bench more. But they're playing Adams in the outfield a little bit, which is nice for my invitational team. I grabbed him the week before he heated up, which is always a good feeling when you get the guy that starts to, you know, you see a little bit of a breakout and you grab him for a dollar instead of, you know, the $50 that most people paid.
Yeah, that's tremendous. That's the key to the whole fab world, especially in those deep, deep leagues.
Yep.
So we'll keep an eye on Reynolds because I agree. I think Zimmerman's going to be out for a while, but you just don't know what the Nats are going to do up there right now. Let's talk about Trevor Story, a guy that, you know, many have written off in the past, but he still gets you home runs, steals a little base. And this year he's already got 7 stolen bases, matching his 2017 total. He's already got 10 home runs. He's hitting .230, but that's what you bought in for. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with a guy like Trevor Story? Are you looking to trade for him, trade him? What are you doing with him?
I wouldn't be moving him. You know, he's like, this is his ceiling. This is great. This is why you wanted him. And, you know, he hasn't even really taken off at home yet. You know, he's a guy that just swings for the fences and he's getting pitches to hit. He's seeing the ball well, running on the base paths, which he's actually got more speed than I even realized. I think it was Batflip Crazy had it up on Twitter today that he's got like the 5th fastest Statcast speed on the base paths. Which, you know, that's obviously not a perfect measure or a straight line speed, but, you know, that's part of the game that you didn't quite expect. You thought you were going to get a handful of steals, but ride it out, because if he plays 160 games, you know, it's the same thing with Stanton last year. Everybody said if he can play 160 games, he's going to have a monster season. And he finally did, and you got a monster season. So with Trevor Story, just cross your fingers, hope the injury doesn't happen, because that's the only thing that's held him back to date is injuries.
Yeah, that's true, because if he were to get hurt, they might get goofy and bring Brandon Rodgers up a little early, and then who knows if Trevor ever sees that job again. So that could be real interesting.
Yeah, but the thing with that is LeMay, who's going to be a free agent. So I think LeMahieu would be the odd man out, especially he's having some injury issues of his own going back on the DL here for the second time this season.
Sure, you could see him switch over there instead. That's an interesting call. Let's talk about a guy that I've been waiting to just get destroyed lately. As I've been – I tell everybody on my podcast, my DFS show, that it's smoke and mirrors with Matt Cook. It's smoke and mirrors. Just keep playing against the middle word. And he got teed off on today against the Diamondbacks. And – you know, it's nothing against the guy, but you just look at everything he's done getting to this point. It was a figment of your imagination. FIPs and XFIPs show that. Now that this happened today, because I made this before it happened,
yep.
Is Matt Cook a guy worth targeting in the deepest of leagues, or is today what we're going to see more often than not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was today, but he's a streamer only at best for me. His BABIP was severely due for some regression. I think it was like 211 earlier in the day. And you know, that when you sent me the outline, that was my note on him is, you know, BABIP is gonna get punished, and his XFIP and FIP are way higher than his ERA, like three times higher than his ERA. So it was coming, and with the Brewers beat him up today, right?
Yeah, the Brewers got to him. Gave up a couple homers and everything.
If you can't get the Brewers to swing and miss, you're in trouble.
And that's why I was always worried about him. He wasn't a strikeout guy. And, like, he, on the season coming today, he's a 5.4 K per nine. Today he got zero strikeouts and 4 1/3 innings pitched. Yeah. So that tells you a lot against the Brew Crew.
I think only one walk, though.
Yeah, he had one walk, but he had 4 home runs in 4 1/3. 4 of the 9 hits left the ballpark for that humidor action. But it's pretty crazy. Coming into the game, he had a 2.43 ERA, a 4.89 FIP, and a 4.66 XFIP. After that outing, a 4.06 ERA, a 6.15 FIP, and a 4.91 XFIP. His BABIP went from 2.11 to 2.23. So, yeah, the regression slowly started to hit.
Yeah, and you know, that's the against the right team – he'll be fine, but like I said, streamer only in my book.
Yeah, I'm with you there because I just couldn't shake the fact that he was getting RBI. It was baffling to me.
We take this brief break from Benched with Bubba to talk to you about RotoWear. It's one of the best quality shirts in the industry. When I mean industry, all the clothing industry, the fantasy sports industry, because people are rocking it. They're loving it. You're seeing it in a lot of big outlets now. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality. They're premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts. They specialize with a special printing process. The design is part of the shirt. Literally, it is dyed and bleached into the fabric. No thick ink. There's over 30 different designs right now. It's just crazy all the stuff they have coming out, and there's more and more stuff every time you turn your head. They have fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, some really cool DFS ones, but everything's great. They have men's, women's, and kids. Check them all out. Go to rotowear.com, rotowear.com. Check them out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at RotoWear. But the cool part, guys, if you use the promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, you get 20% off your order. Again, promo code DEGENS, DEGENS. Check their site out. Check them Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're always giving away free shirts. And then when you go to purchase the ones you want for you, your loved ones, your friends, your family, whatever, use promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, for 20% off your order. Now back to this week's episode of Benched with Bubba.
All right, let's go back to the Tampa Bay Rays. There's something about bad teams always having guys that potentially can be picked up on your roster. But the former San Francisco Giants, Matt Duffy, he got healthy, and he's come out swinging a hot stick, hitting over 300, showing some power and speed combo, playing every day, batting in the middle of that order. I'm thinking he's worth an add in most leagues. If he is, how much are you looking to fab him for? Because he's available in a lot of places.
Like we just talked about with Cook, you know, look at the peripherals. The one thing that scares me with Duffy is he's got a 416 BABIP. So really high for a guy that you know isn't Giancarlo Stanton. So that scares me off of him a little bit. You know, if you're in a league with daily roster moves and you can stream him against the right pitchers, you know, left-handers, that kind of thing, he could be an ad for me. But I wouldn't spend too much fab unless you're hurting.
Okay, good call there.
You as a Giants fan, you have any interest in Duffy?
I got a soft spot for him just because I got to witness it, and what he's doing now is what he did in his good year. And you go back to his, you know, 16, 15, 14 seasons, he had like a 330-ish BABIP or so. So it's not completely out of the norm for him, but he will have everyday at bats. You know, check your leagues. He might still have second base eligibility in some leagues.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's first base, you know, he's not a first baseman I'm interested in.
No, he's third base, maybe second base eligibility. But let's, you know, you just brought that up. And speaking of second baseman, they just called up Christian Royal, the other piece that came in that Giants trade. Mm-hmm. And some people are super high on him. I'm thinking he's more of a Joe Panic type, maybe a little bit of power, decent average. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Some people thought he was a crazy homer guy. I don't think so. Would you go out and grab a guy like Arroyo, like a speculative ad this weekend, or do you want to see where they use him, how often they use him?
Depends on the league size. You know, I'd have the same concern with him as I have with Duffy a little bit, is they've got so many interchangeable parts there. playing time could become an issue with any kind of struggles. But, you know, in a league that's deeper, you don't usually have the luxury to sit back and wait for the breakout to happen. You got to get them on your bench and cross your fingers. So if he gets the opportunity and he hits, there's not a lot blocking him. I could see him taking any number of spots in that lineup.
I like it. Yeah, he's definitely got to keep an eye on him because the pedigree's there. He's shown he can be a pure hitter. So he's one of the rare kind of batting average guys you can find on a waiver wire in midseason. So keep an eye on a Christian Arroyo.
It's interesting they brought him up and not a lot of their homegrown prospects.
The fact Willy Adames can't get a job blows my mind. Just he should have been up last year, let alone this year.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about a Rockies pitcher who may have figured out Coors, possibly. I'll give the benefit of the doubt there because Coors is a wicked, wicked animal. But Kyle Freeland, he pitched okay there last year. He's pitching really good this year. Limits the hard contact a ton. And he's available on all kinds of waiver wires. Is this a guy you're looking to add? I know on the road, probably much more than at home. But what are you looking at with a guy like Kyle Freeland?
Yeah, I grabbed him in the Invitational. You know, 15 teams. It's obviously deep. And he's going against the Giants in San Fran this week. So I needed a fill-in, and he was the guy. But I had read something about him where he's been using his fastball a lot more heavily the last four or five starts, and to pretty effective results. You know, his ERA through those starts is like in the twos, getting some strikeouts. So, you know, he's a guy that, depending on the offense he's facing in Coors, you may want to put on your bench. But against a weaker offense, I'm probably not going to be too scared to take a chance and put him out there. And then obviously with the right road start, a guy you could slot in there and mix and match with other streamers, or if you have a, you know, kind of like a Chris Devensky type of guy that isn't going to get you the counting stats as much. He's a guy that can fill that role.
Yeah, I can dig that because he's that guy that even when he's having a bad game more often than not, because obviously everybody can have blowups, he doesn't usually get blown up. Mm-hmm. Like if his bad starts, maybe the most is like four runs and he still gets you five or six innings where he doesn't destroy you by any means. But he's got that upside to put together like six, seven inning outings with two runs. He's a more often than not surprisingly a decent ratio guy. So I like him as an interesting one. Yeah, keeps it in the ballpark. Like I said, it limits that hard contact that doesn't matter what ballpark you pitch in, that'll work pretty much everywhere. So definitely got to keep an eye on it. And you know, add in those deeper leagues especially, like you said, TG, FBI, and everything. That's a good add for you there, depth-wise. Let's talk about another lefty who keeps getting it done for years. You play DFS. This is a target on the every 5 days with your right-handed power bats in the opposition. But this year, I don't know what's clicking. I don't know if it's just a fluke. Could be. I have a feeling I looked, just saw a stat you might mention. But most of the peripherals look like they're decent. The XFIP does not agree. But Matt Boyd has been getting it done, and the strikeouts have been there certain games not. Mm-hmm. Is this a guy you're looking to grab, or are you still terrified from past experiences?
You know, I laughed when you put these two guys in order on the outline because I got them both in the Invitational.
Outstanding. And honestly, I did not look at Smata's report.
Yeah. You know, my Invitational strategy ended up being a starting pitching fade. So, you know, I'm scrambling every week. I've had Boyd for a good bit now. I grabbed him right out of the gate and said, if he's at home against, a weak divisional opponent, I'm comfortable with him. You know, if they're playing the Yankees, yeah, no, thank you. We'll put him on the bench. But in a deep league, like, he's serviceable. There hasn't been too much ugly, which, like you said, in the past, he's a guy that can get out of hand for him.
Yeah, he's been really interesting because even now I'm looking at his Fangraphs page and little less than 7 Ks per nine. But, man, you look at some of his past performances this year, and he's had a couple games where he's taken advantage of teams that just can't, you know, strike out a ton. So he's a very interesting guy to me. If you had to pick one, would you rather have Matt Boyd or Kyle Freeland?
Hmm. If you ask me today, I'd say Freeland. You know, I had Boyd on my roster first, but I could see myself probably having more confidence in Freeland if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Okay. That's fair enough. And I'm assuming, oh, yeah, he'd definitely take both of them over. What about out of – would you take both of them over Anthony Benda?
Without a rotation spot solidified, yes. You need the guy to take the ball every 5-6 days and get you stats. If Banda gets slotted into that kind of bullpen day role and you don't know, you know, is he going to be the starter? Is he not? Unless you've got the depth to leave him on your bench, I'd rather have the other two.
Okay. That's very, very fair there. Let's talk about some player debates here. And there's some interesting ones because the first one would be two young arms, two that people were very high on coming into the year. Dylan Bundy standing. He had some hiccups, bounced back phenomenally his last time out. Blake Snell started out just like a bat out of hell. The changes he made at the end of last season carried over, looked great. Got blown up his last time out. He has a little injury concern, but nothing major, people say. Which one of the two would you rather have rest of season?
Snell, big time. You know, they both have pedigree, but Snell has the better stuff for me. And as he figured it out last year, you saw what the ceiling was for him, especially his curveball. It's just, you know, one of the top ones in the game, or it's going to be once he's got it refined. Bundy did this last year. He came out in April and everyone, you know, said, oh, this is the guy he was supposed to be. And then he got blown up most of the summer. He finished the year okay. I think August, maybe he started to come back around. You know, guys that throw cutters can have that happen. You know, that's kind of one of his better pitches. And if you don't have a lot of feel for it, it can get punished big time. Camden Yards is not a place that's going to be friendly to you if you're not locating.
No, that is so, so true. That's terrifying. So, yeah, I can dig that. Two power hitting third baseman. One had a hot start to the year, and people said, no, it's just a fluke. But, you know, overall, especially in roto leagues, he's carried the stats just like you'd like. And then the other started out hot, and he's kind of disappeared. So Matt Chapman versus Matt Davidson, rest of the season, who you got?
So this one, for me, it depends on how much patience you have. You know, if you've got the patience to leave Matt Davidson in your lineup and wait for that, you know, week where he hits three home runs, or even single game where he hits three home runs, you could go Davidson. Chapman's the better player for sure. I would much rather have him. You know, from a apples to apples standpoint, you know, absolutely Chapman for me. But Davidson, coming into the year, wasn't getting value at all. I got him in some best balls over on Fantrax, and you know, he's provided some great value there as my third baseman on some teams.
No, I like that a lot, because one thing is, if you do have Matt Davidson, you are playing him every week because you do not want to miss that week where you don't want to try to play Houdini. Yeah. Or unless you have a crystal ball that I don't know about, and Sharon, right. If you do, you're playing him every week, because that would be the worst thing ever is you played him for his 0 for 12 weeks, yeah. And then he goes crazy on you.
That's the beauty of best ball. You know, you don't have roster management, just your best lineup. So, you know, MLB best ball has been just kind of coming around, and Fantrax put out a really good product this year that I fully took advantage of. And you know, I'm hoping it continues and grows. So,
yeah, I dabbled in a couple of those, and they are really awesome. Because I started doing some football ones last year, not on Fantrax because I didn't really know too much about them yet, but I'm going to start digging into those as well. I'm going to try some on draft also because they have a good product as well. But the best ball is really cool for people that don't know about them. You literally just draft, and it takes a while because you draft an extra deep roster, and then you don't do a darn thing. You just take your best stats every day, and they do it for you. Super awesome.
Yeah, man, I think I had at one point as the season was getting closer, a four going at the same time, and it was, you know, a little bit hard to keep track of who was on what team. But it's all value-based drafting there. You don't need to fill spots. You don't need to say,
exactly.
Okay, I got to get a second baseman. Like, you're going to draft probably about three of each position, depending on and you're just saying, okay, this is the guy that I have next in the list that is going to provide value.
Exactly. You're not worried about filling all your roster spots because they'll get filled up eventually. So very good point there. Another player debate we got here. We mentioned Trevor Story earlier, and he's at that peak right now, and we're hoping it sticks around all year. But if it doesn't, we know regression can hit him quickly and get ugly. And you got a guy like Paul DeJong, who many thought wouldn't duplicate what he did last year, and he's picked up right where he left off. He looks phenomenal. If you had to rest the season, do you want to keep with the upside of Trevor Story or a little more stability in Paul DeJong?
I'll go Story here. I think some of his regression has also been injury related. You get to play your games in Coors Field. You get such a boost everywhere. Even, you know, like, see, it doesn't have the best average, but when you can add exit velocity to a ball because of your elevation, you're gonna put more balls in play that end up as hits. I don't like the Cardinals this year. I thought they were gonna be a better team coming in, and
surprisingly bad.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's another year of underachieving. You know, Carpenter, who knows what's going on with him in the shoulder. DeJong he's good. You know, he doesn't really get sat very much, but everybody else is kind of, you know, are they going to play today? Are they not? In the infield, at least, they lost Yadi Molina for a bit here with a terrible injury.
That still hurts thinking about it.
Yeah. Never like to see that.
That's a rough one.
So I think the lineup's a little better around Story as well, at least the part of the lineup he's going to be hitting in. So I would go Story.
Okay. You mentioned the Cardinals, so as I like to take this on tangents at times, let's ask you a few questions I've asked on the last couple shows, and I've made my opinion very strong. Are you cutting Matt Carpenter?
In the Dynasty League I'm in, he was cut. I added him for about 5 days and said, yep, now I see why he was cut, and sent him right back to the wire.
Yeah, I cut him in TGFBI about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it never felt so good.
If he doesn't go on the DL, he can't take up a bench spot for you, and
Something seriously wrong with him.
Back problems don't just go away.
No, that's why I wanted nothing to do with Kershaw this year. Yeah. What about Dexter Fowler, who's hitting below 200 as well? What are you doing with him?
I was really high on him coming into last season, and he never delivered on the on-base numbers that you thought you were getting with him. He got hot at points later in the season, but it was more home run based, which you can't expect that out of him, I don't think. Unless he goes back to Colorado. So, you know, if he's not going to bring that on base tool, I don't think he's a guy that I'm interested in.
No, and he's another one. Like, there's a couple deep leagues where I had him and Carpenter thinking the Cardinals are going to bounce back this year. And I've cut Carpenter, and I'm just praying Fowler figures it out, because there's really nothing to move with him yet, but it's getting closer. I got to cut him too.
What have you thought about Tommy Pham this year?
I am in love with him. I got him in the TGFBI. I got him in a couple leagues. I had the first pick in the on our TGFBI league, and I'm pretty sure I got him with my third pick, so on the turn, the second time through. And he is doing everything people thought he couldn't do again. I just got done with my baseball podcast around the base with Bubba and Mo. We did our, at this point in the year, all-star teams. I did the National League, and Pham was on my three outfield all-stars. I think he's been amazing.
Yeah, if he's in the lineup. Did you go Trout number one there?
No, I'm sorry. I had the second pick. Sorry, I had the second pick. Yes, I would have gone Trout. I had Altuve, so I'm struggling with that one. And then
I went Trout in the Invitational. And more people than I thought went Altuve at one. And, you know, what I said prior to the year was, it seems like every season there's somebody who challenges Trout for that number one pick. They become the trendy thing. Trout has been the number one pick this many years in a row, not by coincidence. You take the safety of Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, like you said, the key word there is safety. Even if he doesn't have a great year, he's still like a top 10 pick, which will get, like, you can get guaranteed that, barring a catastrophic injury, Mike Trout will give you like a top 10 year every season, which you can't say out of, like, I think I saw a stat out of like 15 team leagues. out of the first round picks, there's like maybe two or three that return first round value, and Trout will do that every year.
Yeah. Even last year with a broken thumb, his value with that many missed games was still insanely high.
Yeah, he's the best for a reason. That's why it's always funny when people go, like this year, when he started out slow, and they're like, oh, he's not that good anymore. Then when it takes him 3 weeks, he's back like towards the top of the Fangraphs war and all this stuff. Yeah,
leading the league in combined steals and home runs.
Yeah, it's just like, so he must have just told someone to hold his beer and he's going to go take care of this.
Yeah.
Last Cardinals question, because I meant to put him on the outline and I forgot, but with all the hype coming off his recent start in the minors, Alex Reyes is coming up pretty soon. I'm a big Jack Flaherty fan. I'm getting really angry how they keep moving him around too much. And Wainwright needs to realize he's broken, either pitch out of the bullpen or go away. C-Mart's a little more hurt than people are letting on, it looks like, because he's still they're kind of keep pushing him back. So there's going to be a point where both Reyes and Flaherty might be in the rotation, but there might not be two spots for them. What do you think St. Louis does there? Because they're both fantasy viable, in my opinion. That's not really the question at hand here. What do you just think St. Louis does with them for the fantasy people?
I mean, I think when they bring Reyes up, he's there to stay. They're not gonna yo-yo him around. So he gets the call. He's in the rotation. Unless things go really sideways for him, he's there to stay. I totally agree with you. Wainwright is washed. They're the only ones who don't realize it. And maybe they do realize it. They don't know what else to do. But yeah, he needs to either move into a bullpen role or just hang him up, or have a issue that is a year-long DL, shut it down, say it's an elbow thing, I need to go see Dr. Andrews and shut it down for the year. So that would be the smart move if you're the Cardinals. Flaherty has looked really good. He's struck out more people than I expected with his slider mix. Ideally, you'd like to see both in their rotation as the season comes to a close. I guess the only thing Flaherty has going for him is maybe not the same restrictions. He's still going to have some innings restrictions as a young pitcher, but a guy coming off of Tommy John is going to have a hard cap. There's no way he's pitching more than whatever it is, 120 innings. So you may lose out on Reyes as August turns in, at the end of August turns into September, if you're having him on a fantasy team. And I also own him in the Invitational, so I'm very pleased with his progress to date.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking when it came to Reyes. I was like, he potentially looks to be the better pitcher, but he definitely is going to have that restriction that Flaherty will not. And that's why I think initially they said Reyes was going to come out of the bullpen, but that didn't come to fruition as they're already putting him back in the rotation, as we know. I got one last question for you. I am a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Where did Roto underscore Juan come from?
It's funny. When I started getting into trying to be a fantasy analyst, me and some friends were kind of trying to come up with, you got to have a handle. And we'd always kind of joked around about, there's Dr. Roto and, Roto this and fantasy that. And, it just kind of was a joke. Like, I'm Roto-Wan, like Obi-Wan. And it kind of started to stick, and I ran with it. And, there's been some good positive response to it in the community. Yeah. It's kind of unique. It's something that if I ever become more professional on this end, I'll probably have to tone down a little bit. Yeah, lightsabers and my Twitter page and stuff. But Twitter's supposed to be fun. You don't need to have like the school, high school, senior picture where you're sitting and you've got the gray backdrop, your tie on. For me, it's just fun.
Yeah, no, I like it. And it should be fun. You should never have to change that, because Twitter should be fun. Fantasy baseball should be fun.
Yep.
So I thought it was cool. I wanted to see what your whole twist on it was, but I like it. It's different. Like I said earlier, you can find Mike's work on FWFB, Razzball, and Lineup Logic DFS. What do you got coming up these days on those wonderful sites?
So FWFB, we do a DFS kind of intro series mostly every week. Sometimes we take a week off here and there, just kind of getting people their feet wet in MLB DFS, which a lot of people haven't played before, or, you know, as the season was new, needed a refresher on. At Razzball, I do a weekly article on Tuesdays based on draft.com, give you a couple plays there. And then Lineup Logic is a full service DFS shop. Whatever you need, we've got it there. I focus on baseball, and then I have a weekly golf show there. So if you're looking to get into golf, it's a good subscription to have. We give you a cheat sheet, and the pod is free. So if you want to listen, you can find that usually on my Twitter. You playing any golf this week, Bubba?
Always. I'm going to have to get – I don't know how I missed that you did golf like that. I'll have to – one of these weeks when we have a guest on our show, I'll have to have you jump on with us. That'd be fun.
Sure.
Yeah, I did. I don't know how I missed that one. But, yeah, definitely. It's a weird week. What are you thinking with this new layout and a mediocre field at best? Let's talk a little golf here before we wrap it up. But what are you thinking with this thing?
I'm having so much fun this week trying to figure out what the hell's going to happen. There's, you know, on our show, what we talked was everybody's looking for narratives this week, you know, hot weather, wind, Lynx course, Texas golf, you know, guys that are members there like Spieth and Hostler. And every single narrative has a valid counterpoint to it. So, you know, what I'm kind of sticking with is heat and Lynx skill with a little bit of Texas flavor. You know, my obviously Spieth is the big name. He should do well, but he's never done well at this tournament. Obviously it was on a different course, but, with the big price tag, I'm not sure I'm going to have too many shares of Spieth. A guy I really like, is Brant Snedeker, which is
really,
he's such a good wind golfer. The winds don't look too strong in the forecast, but the thing you got to remember is this course is just a wide open square. There's not a tree on the property. So 15 mile an hour gusts in the Dallas area could mean 20, 25 mile an hour gusts on this property. So I think that could play into it, especially as the weekend moves on. And another guy that kept coming up in the metrics I was looking at was Bill Haas, and he's a pretty good value.
I like that.
He hasn't had the best year. You know, he had that tragedy he's in a car crash. His friend, the driver, died. So that's kind of thrown him off, but he's a better golfer than he's shown to date this year. So this could be a good spot for him to turn it around.
Yeah. Before that tragedy that took place down there in San Diego, I believe it was, it was down there in LA. Yeah, that was horrible. And he was playing really, really good golf before that for like over a year. He was very good. So I think that's a great call. Yeah, I'm looking a lot at the Link style, kind of the Euro-ish type guys, because most of them do really well in the wind. They're used to playing Link wind golf. That's kind of where I'm looking. But there are guys like Haas. What's your take on this one? He's ultra-tilting at all times, but the price point is just wrong in so many ways in Kevin Na.
He's going to be so chalky. And chalky Kevin Na.
How chalky is too chalky?
Any chalk on Kevin Na is too
It's so true. He's terrifying.
You know, he figures great. Like, if you're on draft.com, I'm happy with Kevin Na because I'm the only one who's going to own him. But on DraftKings, FanDuel, Fantasy Draft, his pricing is just, especially DraftKings, super cheap. And guys that look for value are going to see his tournament odds are 55-1. Everybody else in that low sevens is, you know, 150-1. So I'd expect about 20% ownership on him. And you're going to see a lot of that with Spieth as well. So if a chalk bomb goes off, you know, who knows?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm looking at. I never want to ever roster that man, but it's just like you look at it and you're going, this is just so wrong in so many ways. Okay, last golf question I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning it this week?
Winning it?
When you can't pick Jordan Spieth.
Right. So I'll throw my 3-1 and done picks from the show out. I did Sergio as an expensive player, Snedeker in the middle there, and then Aaron Baddeley taking the Aussie and Texas route. I kind of like Sergio, to be honest. I think he's not getting the cred he should coming into this.
I was getting way overlooked.
And it's such a weak field. Like, he's the second best golfer going, you know. Yep. So
If he can putt, he'll be right in there, I would think. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked. And people don't realize that he's living in Texas now. So he's a native.
Lives in Texas.
Somewhat. So something to think about. Yeah, I like Adam Scott, which is weird for me to say, and Mark Leishman. I like Mark Leishman quite a bit. But
Leishman profiles well. They're both going to be a little chalky. I can't do Adam Scott, you know, especially with any kind of ownership. He's just the expensive Kevin Na.
Yeah, you're onto something there. So, well, it'll be interesting. Good thing it tees off tomorrow, because it's one of those weeks where you can go a million different directions, because there's, like you said, there's so many different narrative street. Which one do you want to go drive down?
Yep.
It's crazy. But all right, everybody, go check him out on Twitter at @Roto_Juan. And again, his work, Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Razzball, Lineup Logic DFS. His name is Mike Alexander. Mike, thanks for joining me, man. Awesome time.
Thanks for having me, Bubba. Good luck this week.
No problem. You too. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 94. Catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.